This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Boxes and squares. Trey Hudson, what boxes, do you mean?
Boxes and squares. Really, really neat things. I started reading about, you know, places like Skinwalker Ranch and George Knapp's, you know, wonderful book, Hunt for the Skinwalker. They talk about boxes or cubes flying, you know, refrigerators with blinking lights, you know. And UFO lore down in Brazil, they talk about, and also in that book, they talk about something called the Chupa Chupa, which means sucker sucker, which were flying cube-like UFOs in Brazil that would shoot incapacitating rays, you know, at some of the locals there. So we've got, you know, flying boxes or cubes in Utah, and we've got flying boxes and cubes in Colorado. And so then turn the page, my team goes in the meadow, and we observe on our equipment, on our FLIR, a cube or a box manifesting, which was colder than the environment. Once again, colder than the environment. And by the time we were able to start recording, we don't run our FLIRs in record mode because it eats up the power. But once we started recording, the cube and box started to dissipate. But there was enough remnants of it that we were able to dispatch a team into it, and they disappeared. You know, when they approached this cube, we could not see their FLIR image, their heat. Once they entered this thing, we have tried in vain to recreate it. We have not been able to, in that environment, to come up with a situation where a person's heat signature is totally opaque. You know, we just cannot recreate what happened to us. I was at a UFO conference and was approached by Katie, and she said, "Oh my goodness, Tristan, I wanted to talk to you. You know, I've been waiting for you to get here." And I'm like, "Okay. You know, why is it?" She goes, "Well, let me explain to you and describe what's happened at the Colorado Ranch. You know, they also had boxes and cubes, you know, with lights witnessed by various people at this area of high strangeness." So there's something about boxes or cubes, you know, seems to be a common theme or a common formation, you know, in some of these areas of high strangeness. Now, you know, like I had said before, you know, do we really know what that means? Not yet. I'm hoping to get more data from, you know, various individuals, maybe, you know, that work in other places. I'd love to, you know, talk to some of the people doing the research out of Skinwalker Ranch. I'd love to really dig into, you know, some of the NIDS, reports as those, you know, start becoming declassified, and, you know, maybe try to crack the code on these mysterious cubes as they, you know, they float around the world and exhibit all kind of strange behaviors and phenomena.
The portal, we'll just call it a portal, that yeah. you recorded on your FLIR, and then you vectored, you know, your team members to that area. What were they experiencing at the time? Could they see with just, you know, like their naked eyes, anything different in the environment?
Yeah, that's a great question. We did a very in-depth after-action review, you know, debriefing after this experience. So, you know, while it just happened, you know, hours before, you know, I was able to get the experiences from my team members. And the way they described it is thus. They said it was like walking into a black velvet bag, very dark, not oppressive, not claustrophobic, but just dark, like something was sucking up all the light. When they went into this area, they moved into it easily, you know, didn't have any kind of encumbrances, you know, no briars or brambles or branches or, you know, stickers or anything like that. They just moved into it very easily. And they said it was cold. The temperature dropped while they were there, which, you know, makes sense because it was actually colder than the environment when we originally picked it up on our FLIR. And where it gets weird is when they turned around and backed out of this, they started encountering branches and brambles that weren't there before. Now, they were taking the same route in and out. But it's almost like the environment had shifted just a little bit to where these encumbrances were not present when they went in, but had manifested and they reverted back to their natural state when they backed out of it. You know, as this thing started to dissipate, the environment started returning back to normal. So they started, you know, getting hung up on vines and stuff as they were backing out. It's almost like reality was altered just a little bit while this thing was actually manifesting. And then as it slowly, you know, devolved or, you know, started to dissipate, the environment returned to its natural state.
Now, you were watching this on your FLIR at the same time that they entered
yes.
and then they backed out. Could you see
yes.
a difference when they started to back out? I mean, you know, did this this portal continue looking the same, or was there a change?
Yeah, there was a change. It was when it was first detected by my team, it was very distinct. You know, it was a large cube, you know, very, very defined. Once we started recording it and started vectoring our team, it started to dissipate. You could vaguely see the outline of it, but it was starting to fade. And when our team went into it, you know, it was continuing to dissipate. And once they came out, you know, a few seconds later, it had, you know, completely dissipated.
So has there been any repeat occurrences in this same area, or was this a one-off?
Oh no, there's been other instances. You remember when I referred to our first cryptid sighting at the edge of the meadow, where we caught on film or on photograph what we saw was a cryptid watching us. This is another instance where it gets weird. You know, I talked about the multifaceted nature of the occurrences. Let's factor in crop circles. Why not? You know, let's go there.
Sure.
Actually had dispatched a team to another field, meadow, about 7 miles away, and we had to backpack cross country with our equipment into this meadow, and I had several team members that stayed back at base camp. So, you know, we went to this other field, we had some strange happenings about 7 miles away, but while we were coming back the next morning, several of my team members went out to the meadow, and imagine, you know, a field with grass that's about 18 inches tall, you know, kind of dried out. And as they walk into the meadow, they notice a set of parallel, I'm going to say tire tracks, because that's what people can visualize. You know, imagine tire tracks, you know, in a field of high grass. But these linear features, and when I say crop circles, you know, not all crop circles are circles. These were two linear features, maybe about 4 feet from one another, about maybe 10 inches wide, paralleled each other, but it was like something was dropped into the meadow, traveled a distance, and then was lifted out. So it wasn't a vehicle. You know, something created these linear, you know, disturbances, and they ran for a finite, you know, length. You know, they started and stopped. And so my team members went back out there a little bit later in the morning with a full spectrum camera. And lo and behold, with their full spectrum camera, when they looked through their viewfinder at the end of this track, there was a cube, another cube in a little bit different location. And they would step out of the tracks, and the cube wasn't visible on their full spectrum camera. Step in the track, it's visible. Step out, it's not visible. So, and this cube was in almost the exact same area where we saw had the photograph of the cryptid. So, you know, all of this stuff is tied together somehow. And so, yes, there have been other, you know, other cubes or portals, you know, in this location. Absolutely.
When you talk about crop circles, I think originally about the ones in the UK that supposedly had conventional explanations that artists allegedly were creating those things. Now, of course, we have that crazy movie with Mel Gibson called Signs, which mm-hmm. had a good beginning and middle, but the ending was just another monster on the loose kind of film. But we also had a guest early on until she got involved with some kind of European fraudster, psychic fraudster, a woman named Nancy Talbot, who spent a number of years investigating crop circles. So I'm going to ask you in our next segment, Trey, about the crop circles, your perception, and do you think it's possible that there really is just a conventional explanation for that? We have to look at that. Trey Hudson, we're talking about the Meadow Project, the place somewhere in the southern United States where lots of strange things happen. with Gene and Tim. You're in
the Paracast.
Hey, listeners, I want you to have the entire Paracast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest-rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Tehibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com, or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. shopsupertea.com.
You've been hearing Dr. Wallach talking about 90 essential nutrients, keeping the body healthy. GCNteam.com now has Beyond Tangy Tangerine tablets, 60 plant-derived minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, packed in a powerful tablet. But that's not it. 160,000 auric points, a knockout punch to free radicals. Call 877-878-4203 or go to GCNteam.com. That's 877-878-4203.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
So, Trey, crop circles, let's talk about that for a few minutes. We haven't really dealt with that on the Paracast. Are you familiar with Nancy Talbot?
No. Not off the top of my head.
Okay, crop circles. Now, again, the original perception in the UK was that they were just created. What do you think?
I think you have to look at it, of course, with a skeptic's eye. I think that's healthy. of course, you've had fraudsters and hoaxsters out there that have made crop circles, you know, very intricate designs, you know, that defy, you know, logic. And then, you know, ha, 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 you know, 6 months later, somebody has a video of them with, you know, boards and a rope, you know, stomping these things out based, you know, on a grid system. Take that for what it's worth. Where it really gets interesting, if you, once again, if you start seeing different types of phenomena in the same geographical locations, if you have UFO sightings that go back, you know, several years, and then in conjunction with those UFO sightings, you have crop circles, and then in conjunction with that, you have other strange phenomena, then you have to start putting maybe a little bit of credence to it. And especially if it's an area that's, you know, not well known, you know, like our location. You know, it just wouldn't make sense for someone to go out in the middle, literally in the middle of nowhere. You know, you have to hike to this place to get to it, you know, to make two linear tracks, which quite frankly aren't that impressive until you start really thinking about it. So, you know, I think crop circles, they make sense. I think what's interesting, like some of the research that's done where people have taken our radiation readings. Okay, now we have a physical anomaly, the crop circle. And then we have a energetic anomaly, radiation, that is higher than background radiation. Now you start putting it together. And then if you tie it into where people said, okay, we saw orbs. You know, there have been people reporting orbs, you know, in these fields before the circles manifested themselves. Then you start getting into something that might be, you know, true anomalous, you know, type happenings versus, you know, some hoaxster or trickster, you know, trying to pull a fast one.
It also makes me think, though, you know, when you talk about how these lines just kind of began and ended in the middle of nowhere. I know years ago when I was looking into a Bigfoot sighting, I was in this field, river bottom, very close to the river, extremely muddy, very muddy, and came across these tracks, very large, bare feet, that just started in the middle of nowhere and ended in the middle of nowhere. You know, it was just like whatever it was, just dropped down from the sky, you know, walked about a dozen yards, and then just went back up into the sky again. So, I mean, you know, we've seen these kind of circumstances before. And like you said, if this was a hoax, why would somebody out in the middle of nowhere do something like this?
Yeah, and how would they do it? You know, that's, right. And I, you know, one of my research partners actually, you know, was talking about that not too long ago, you know, that they've encountered prints that just start, you know, go a distance and stop. And, you know, I alluded to it earlier. We're trackers. We're trained in that. So usually we can detect, you know, variations in the environment as somebody, you know, moves through it or some creature moves through it. So, you know, that goes back to kind of what we were talking about earlier. You know, is Sasquatch always a physical entity or can it wink in and out of existence? So I think more people are starting to look at that possibility, you know, and some people make fun of it and say, well, you know, that's the woo factor. But like I tell people, you know, I didn't go looking for the woo found me. And I have to take it into consideration if I'm honest with myself. So absolutely, you know, I think perhaps that's crop circles, you know, manifest in the same way. I know we've had like our mysterious tracks manifest. And now you're talking about, you know, large cryptid tracks manifesting in the same way. So yeah, we would be foolish not to, to look at that possibility.
Yeah, I think anybody who spends a significant amount of time looking into this stuff finds that the woo factor quickly catches up to them.
Oh yeah, it'll definitely find you. I mean, you know, whether you want to or not, it's gonna appear, you know, jump out and say howdy, and you know, you have to make the decision whether you want to stick out your hand and say howdy back or just pretend like it didn't happen.
Earlier you had mentioned somebody or somebodies who had missing time experiences during their investigations. You want to go into that? Is this an association with the portals?
Well, it was actually a previous research outing from the portal. And this, you know, this is a very weird, weird weekend, you know, expedition also. The way we started off is kind of approaching it from a, and forgive me, I'm an old military guy, but an LPOP, listening and observation post. Okay, so we were going to set up teams in the meadow equipped with a FLIR, night vision, radios, and we were going to have a ridge runner, you know, somebody move across this ridge that's adjacent to it and see if something could be flushed down into the meadow that we could detect with our equipment, or if he could see something from his high vantage point. And so we had three teams set up in the meadow, you know, with their equipment, and, you know, radioed the individual, hey, we're ready for you to go ahead and start approaching the meadow, move up on top of the ridge, and then drop down and work your way back to us. After a while, we got a radio call, you know, saying, hey, guys, I reached this landmark, which is a particular tree that's, you know, bent over this trail, and we all know where it is. He says, you know, I got to this landmark, and I don't remember how I got here. You know, I don't know how I got here. So, of course, the first thing that pops into mind is a medical emergency. You know, we have paramedics and emergency room nurses and people on our team, and they're like, okay, maybe this is a medical issue, you know. So, you know, as much as they could over the radio, they said, okay, we're going to do a quick assessment. Can you feel your extremities? Yes. Okay. Repeat Mary had a little lamb to us. Okay. He repeated it. There was no slurring. There was no forgetting the words. Yeah, everything was fine. You know, have you lost any vision? No, my vision is fine. Does your head hurt? No, my head doesn't hurt. So, you know, like, you know, everybody, we try to put things into our boxes. You know, we have our own normalcy bias, which comes into play. So it's like, okay, obviously he got focused on something else. He, you know, zoned out and got there and doesn't remember how he got there. Like, you know, sometimes people drive to work and don't remember driving. They just, you know, show up at their office as they were daydreaming. And we just chalked it off to that. Okay. So starts getting a little stranger. He moves across the top of the ridge, drops down into the meadow, and starts working his way back towards one of the teams. The team member that picked him up initially when he dropped back in the meadow was a very, very learned individual, has two master's degrees, a undergrad degrees from Georgia Tech, you know, very, very smart guy. His associate that was with him has a degree in physics from Georgia Tech, former U.S. Army Ranger with the reconnaissance regiment, or reconnaissance company. You know, very solid, educated, down-to-earth guys. So they pick up this gentleman that just had the missing time on their FLIR, and they see his outline, his signature, his heat signature, a man-shaped heat signature, starting to move towards him. And then this heat signature through their FLIR turned into a ball of energy, a sphere.
Let's stop it right here. A ball of energy. How about that? Trey, Gene, Tim. Tim's a ball of energy sometimes. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
USA Radio News with Kenneth Burns.
Marriott is suspending all of its operations in Russia. The hotel company is citing restrictions imposed by the U.S., U.K., and EU. Marriott International said in a statement it has come to view that the newly announced restrictions will make it impossible for them to continue to operate or franchise hotels in the Russian market. The company closed its Moscow office and paused the opening of new hotels and all future hotel investment in Russia, following the invasion of Ukraine 101 days ago. The baby formula plant that was shuttered after a federal inspection has reopened. The Abbott Nutrition plant in Sturgis, Michigan, had been closed for 5 months after an FDA inspection discovered unsanitary conditions. The factory produced most of the country's supply of powdered Similac and specialty formulas. Its closure led to the national shortage of baby formula. This is USA Radio News. The GOP nominee for Senator of Pennsylvania is the celebrity Dr. Mehmet Oz. His opponent, former hedge fund CEO Dave McCormick, conceded to Oz on Friday. He said it became clear to him that Oz would be the nominee with the recount largely completed. Oz will go on to face Democratic Lieutenant Governor John Fetterman in the fall. Fetterman has been off the campaign trail in recent weeks after suffering a stroke. He said on Friday that he almost died and urged people to not ignore doctor's orders. A change in view will mean a change in jobs for a Republican congressman. New York's Chris Jacobs says he will not run for a second term. He broke from his party when he announced that he would support an assault weapons ban. Jacobs told the Buffalo News that the mass shooting in Texas and the racially motivated shooting at a Buffalo grocery store changed his stance. That prompted every elected GOP leader who endorsed his re-election bid to withdraw their support. Jacobs also lost the backing of the Republican and conservative parties in the Empire State. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Hey folks, Tom D for ParanormalDate.com. Are you looking for love in all the wrong places? Now you have a chance to change that by signing up free at ParanormalDate.com. This incredible dating site puts people of like minds together. People who are interested in the strange, the unusual, ghosts, zombies, UFOs, crop circles, and more. ParanormalDate.com was developed for you, people who seek a little more than the other dating services offer. You can join for free by going to ParanormalDate.com, and if you decide you like it and you want to connect with others, use the code GEORGE for a substantial discount. So many people want to share their experiences with the paranormal, the afterlife, the unusual, and this is the place to meet and share common interests with those of like minds. So sign up for free at ParanormalDate.com. That's ParanormalDate.com. Use the code word GEORGE and start meeting others. Get going now and connect with someone you like.
Hi, this is Bryce Abel. I'm the producer of Dark Skies, the co-author of AD After Disclosure, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
So I called Tim Swartz, a ball of energy, and he sounds like he's going to go to sleep. Wake up, Tim.
Yeah. Tim was a ball of effervescence, you know, just ready to pop at any moment. You know?
Well, something's about to pop. I don't know what.
But, you know, so, you know, they're observing our compatriot. His heat signature all of a sudden turns into a spherical shape and moves, you know, over a section of the field, over a section of the meadow at a very high rate of speed. And we calculated the distance covered in the amount of time that whatever this was, it was moving at about 23 to 25 miles per hour over rugged terrain. Impossible. Humans can't do that. So all of a sudden, this ball of energy manifests itself back into a man-shaped heat signature. And they're like, oh, my God, something bad has happened to our friend. So they get on the radio and they call him. And they're watching through their FLIR and they see this figure, you know, pick up the radio, bring it to its mouth, and reply. It's like, you know, oh, my goodness, you know, are you okay? And he said, yes, I'm fine. You know, why are you asking? Well, you need to come over to us and we'll talk about it. We don't want to talk about it over the radio. So he comes over to him. And they explain what they observed. You know, we saw you and you're standing there and you turn into a ball of energy and you move, you know, at rapid speed, you know, for 100 yards, turn back into a man-shaped figure and walk over to us. And he said, what did it feel like? And he goes, I have no idea what you're talking about. I just was walking across the field like normal, you know, not from his perception. In his perspective, nothing was out of the ordinary. He was just walking along. So we still argue about whose perception was altered. You know, was it the observer or the observed? You know, then you start getting into all kinds of quantum, you know, effects and stuff with the observer effect and things like that. So, you know, they witnessed this. So we've had missing time. We had the manifestation of the ball of energy. And the next morning, this gentleman was showing us his GPS. Now, he has a very good habit of always having his GPS on whenever he's in the woods recording his track line, you know, exactly where he went. And as he's showing us this in the morning, he had several straight line tracks showing him in places that he never went to, and straight line tracks over terrain that you can't move in a straight line on the ground. But you can move in a straight line if you're in the air.
Places you never went to.
Yes.
Okay.
Like there was there's a very large creek. You know, I'm talking 20, 30 feet wide. You know, very, very large creek, body of water, that his track line showed him on the other side of this water feature. He never went over there. You know, he wasn't wet. You know, he never doesn't remember going over there, but yet his GPS shows him traveling for a significant distance on the other side of this major terrain feature. So, you know, going back to what I alluded to earlier, I hope to do a little bit of a regression, hypnotic regression, to start to punch through some of these screen memories to see maybe what really happened during some of these remarkable events.
I wanted to ask you about possible regression since you brought it up. Do you have someone there who's a trained mental health therapist who could do this right?
I'm working with, like I said, my alma mater. I reached out to one of the psychologists and therapists there to see if we can maybe find somebody that can not only, you know, do some hypnoregression, but some therapy, and see if we can figure out what exactly happened. To several of my members, the same individual that had the very strange experience with the missing time, we were at another location camping, another base camp, and while the team was out, he had stayed back at camp by himself, which is something we try not to do for obvious reasons, but we just didn't have the personnel to have two people back at base camp that particular outing. And while he was at base camp, he heard a very distinct sound of a vehicle moving along a road that's about 30 meters from the this base camp, you know, that runs adjacent to it that you turn into to get to the camp. And so he extinguished all the lights in base camp, and he heard the distinct sound of like the crunching of gravel, like a vehicle passed by base camp, but with no lights. Now, this place is in the middle of nowhere on a dark, moonless night. You can't drive a vehicle, you know, through these darkened roads with no lights unless you have the highest quality military night vision, which, you know, isn't very, very common. And where it gets really weird is while this craft, and I'm just going to use the word craft because we don't know what it was, passed by him, we are now running Geiger counters because we've noticed that there is a correlation between radiation spikes and high strangeness. While this craft passed by him, he had a radiation spike of 0.66 microsieverts per hour above the baseline of 0.02 microsieverts per hour. So it was a very significant radiation spike.
I know nothing about radiation levels. Does that level... That's what I'm going to ask, yes. Is it dangerous?
Yeah, no, it's not dangerous. It's not a dangerous level, but, you know, from an empirical point of view, it's significant. You know, it was a significant increase, which we could not explain, with normal reasons. And we see these radiation spikes whenever we're experiencing some certain elements of high strangeness. Now, very interesting is now I'm learning that other places of high strangeness are starting to show the same spikes of radiation. You know, not significant, not dangerous, but just enough to make you notice and to cause some sort of empirical, you know, tick mark, you know, in the experience, you know, when these things happen. So once again, you know, regression, you know, can we punch through? Was that a screen memory? You know, he remembers hearing something pass by. He looks at his Geiger counter. You know, he had this tiny radiation spike, and that's what I remember. But what's on the other side of that memory? You know, that's my question. So, you know, maybe sometime in the near future, we'll get some answers, you know, not only some of his experiences, but some of my other team members that have had some very odd happenings.
Now, I should mention, most listeners of the PowerCast know this, I am not a fan of hypnotic regression, especially trying to get accurate interpretations of some kind of traumatic event that someone might have experienced. And I also have problems with screen memories because they don't make sense to me. If that was an encounter with E.T. and they make you forget what happened and you have this simple screen memory that you can penetrate, dealing with a race way beyond us, traveling here from interstellar space or another dimension, if they want us to forget what happened, they can do it. They don't need to pull this carelessness, just a perception.
And that's an honest perception. I never mentioned E.T., and I never said these screen memories were implanted. Psychologically, sometimes as a way of dealing with trauma or events that are outside of our normalcy bias, we'll try to create a version of the event that makes sense to us. It's a defensive mechanism that we do as humans. And, you know, there are ways to get through that, you know, and hypnosis is a way when combined with therapy that you can peel back the layers, you know, and actually look at what was the original event. You know, whatever caused it. You know, I'm not saying extraterrestrials or, you know, but as we start, you know, looking at traumatic events, especially with returning servicemen from overseas and, you know, and start looking at trauma care, you know, psychological trauma care, is, you know, we tend to create a version of things that are more palatable to our psychological well-being.
Basically, then, it's a cover story to cover up something that may have been a lot more traumatic to them. We've got Trey and Jean and Tim. Are you awake, Tim? You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on this special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there's The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, AmeriCare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around a dollar a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nanocolloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
This is Jacques Vallée, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
I asked Tim Swartz if he was awake, and his voice went up about 12 octaves.
Now that is an impressive falsetto, what can I say?
No, go ahead, please. So we're talking here about missing time. How long was the missing time?
We really don't know because, you know, all we know is, unfortunately, we didn't log when he left, you know, base camp moving to this location. So we don't know, you know, what the missing time was. It was significant enough. I would say traveling at a normal rate of speed, maybe 15 minutes, you know, from where he left to this landmark, it takes about 15 minutes to walk there. So, you know, that would be, you know, 15 minutes. Is it, you know, 2 hours? No, it's not 2 hours. But it was significant enough that we made note of it. And then you combine this with these other very strange, bizarre happenings with this individual, you know, over that particular evening. You know, it starts to paint a very strange picture. And, you know, maybe we can get down to the bottom of it and maybe not. But, you know, we're certainly going to, if I can find the right therapist, we're certainly going to give it a go.
Are we talking here, just to clarify, of one person or a number of people?
Now, this was one person. All these phenomena happened to one person, which is very weird because the one person, you know, has these very strange experiences. So, you know, what does that mean? You know, why do you have this one person, you know, experiencing the craft or vehicle, you know, passing by the camp blacked out? You know, why is this one person having the missing time? You know, why was this one person observed by, you know, two witnesses, you know, turning into a ball of energy on our FLIR and moving? So I have no explanation why this one person is particularly involved in, you know, these instances of high strangeness.
If he disappears before your eyes, you'll know.
Yeah, I know. I'll tie a rope to his foot and hopefully, you know, find out where he goes and pull him back. Yeah, we kind of call him the weird magnet because, you know, it always seems to be focused on him. Now, we have, you know, some other individuals that have had some very strange things happen. We had a individual, very down-to-earth individual, had an engineering degree from the Air Force Academy, was an Air Force Special Operations, now is a very highly sought-after consultant in his area of expertise. We have had done Stephen Greer's CE5 protocol one evening, and I don't know if you're familiar with that, but it's a way of projecting intent, you know, if there's, you know, a vessel or entity that want to communicate with us, you know, please communicate with us, and, you know, we're here to receive what you have to say, et cetera, et cetera. And it was a complete bust.
Well, yeah. We're not fans, by the way, on this show of Stephen Greer. In fact, the last time we had him on twice early on, and the last time we had him on, I think he was about to really go off on us.
Mm. we got to be careful in this business, not throwing the baby out with the bathwater. You know, some people that we might not agree with do have some perhaps decent techniques, you know, that are worth exploring. So anyway, I'm not going to get into the whole Stephen Greer thing, but anyway, we were trying that protocol out to see if we could perhaps, you know, get something out of it. Like I said, we bring different tools, you know, into our toolbox and give them a shot. See if it, something works, see if it doesn't. So long story short, we were trying the CE5 protocol, didn't really have very good results with it, and thought it was a complete bust. So during the night, this individual I told you about, this Air Force Academy engineer, came to me the next morning and said, Trey, I had this weird experience. He said, you know, about 4:30 in the morning, he said, I sat up wide awake, and I had this term in my brain, you know, these words etched into my consciousness, and the word was Knox Magbe. You know, if you were to spell it phonetically, N-O-X-M-A-G-B-E, Knox Magbe. He said, does that mean anything to you? I'm like, no, not at all. And he said, and about 6:30, once again, I sat up wide awake with this term, you know, just in my mind. And I said, well, you know, I'll research it, see if I can find anything out about it, but it doesn't, you know, off the top of my head, it doesn't have any significance. So I started digging into it, and I found out that Nox, N-O-X, is the Roman term for the night goddess, goddess of the night, N-O-X. And that's was a variation of the Greek goddess Nyx, goddess of the night. So we got the night goddess, Nox. Magbe, it took me a while to dig that one up, is a old English word, which was spoken about the time of the end of the Roman occupation of Britain, and during the time Beowulf was written. And it means kindred or children, Magbe or Magba. So if you put the two words together, you have children of the night goddess. So, you know, what does that mean? You know, why would he have the term, an old contemporaneous term of a Roman term and an old English term, children of the night goddess? Well, you know, if I start thinking about it, what comes to people at night that are small and have large heads like children, you know, you start thinking about it, you know, there's a really good example of something like that on the cover of Whitley Strieber's book, Communion. So is that what that was about? Was that a download or some sort of communication? You know, children of the night goddess? I don't know. You know, it just, you know, these pieces fall into my lap, but they don't necessarily go together to make a coherent puzzle. So, you know, I'm trying to figure out, you know, what all of these various experiences and anomalies mean.
Was he watching a particular kind of movie or TV show?
No.
The night before? Anything?
No.
That could have caused him to dream something weird?
No. We were literally in the middle of the woods. You know, don't even have cell communication, you know, in this area. So, and the thing is, if he was, you know, had an impression, you know, from a TV show, a book, et cetera, why would it manifest using, you know, that particular term? You know, it's, which he didn't even know what it meant. So it was very weird. You know, Ryan Musgrave, who wrote The Children of Orion, he and I have talked, and he says it's a Gaelic term, and he thinks that it might be tied into what he calls crypto-terrestrials, I believe is the term he uses. So, you know, there's a lot of ways to look at that particular instance, you know, and a lot of different explanations for it. But that's just, you know, that's just one instance of this this very strange place.
Now, crypto-terrestrials was also a term used by the late Mac Tonies for a book that he wrote shortly before he died, and this is like 15 years ago or something like that, where he suggested like a breakaway civilization, another civilization of advanced beings that exists on Earth, and they send us flying saucers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, and you know, one example that, you know, some people point to in that particular is Chris Bledsoe, you know, some of his experiences. So, you know, this stands a reason, and you start putting, you know, all of these pieces together, you know, and all, we all looking at, like I said, a different facet of the same phenomenon. You know, it's possible.
It's one of the frustrating things for investigators is that they're given, it seems almost like bits and pieces of information that for them at that particular time don't go together. So I often wonder if, when the time comes when everybody can finally, get together and get all of their information together, if things will start to make more sense. You get a little bit of information, somebody else years later gets a little bit of information, somebody years in the past gets information that someday can all be brought together to make some kind of sense.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. Like I said, I was trained in the military as an intelligence officer. So, what we were trained to do is take bits of information. And, information is not intelligence. Information is information. But once you start getting other pieces of information that start to corroborate one another, then you start being able to paint a picture and get a whole, more complete version of what's going on. And then you can generate intelligence. You can act on intelligence. So, as these little bits of information start coming in from different people, different sources, different locations, and they start to corroborate one another, then you can maybe start developing a picture of maybe not so much what's going on, but maybe the phenomenology that accompanies these happenings, like, radiation, things like that. And you can start maybe coming up with a predictive model of when these things will start happening. Radiation, variations in temperature, we're starting to see that. So I think we're starting to get maybe a clearer picture of what may be some indicators of high strangeness.
We've got the break here. We've got more with Trey, Gina, and Tim. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.